so good to see you. It always is, each Sunday morning. Appreciate Brother Albert filling in last week. And today's message, today's lesson is a little different. Thought I'd change it up just a hair. I know you don't like change. I don't either. But today, we're just going to be a little bit different, okay? You're good? Okay. Good to have each and every one of you. And I always like looking out and seeing everybody who's here. This morning, Treva is with us, and always a pleasure to have her, as well as each of you. And before we, when we were together last, 2 weeks ago, we were in 1 Corinthians, and we were actually pushing chapter 10, but we're not going to be there today. Okay, we're going to start out in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and I want to tell you why. You want to know why? The reason is because sometimes when you're in the Word of God, in your study, your devotion, your meditation, for me, it's a lot of times when I'm preparing lessons, and I love verse by verse, you know that. That's what I'm comfortable with. I love it. And that's what I'd be doing this morning if it were not for what has popped up into my head. And what has popped up into my head is four words found in our first text. Now, we're going to read a text in chapter 8, and then we're going to read a text in chapter 6, and I hope to share something with you that's been on my heart. And it started getting up on my heart when we went through chapter 6 and chapter 8. It's what God's Word often does. When we read it and we take time to study it, something sometimes clicks. And this clicked and clicked and clicked and clicked. And I thought, I'm slow, but I'm not stupid. I might need to share this. Somebody else might be needing to hear this. And so that's what we're going to do. Are you with me? 1 Corinthians chapter 8, we're going to start in verse number 9. And if I can just remind you where Paul, the Apostle Paul was, he was talking about the freedom to eat certain meats. Some people, inexperienced, immature Christians, had a problem with eating meats that had been offered at the sacrifice. And Paul simply takes a whole chapter to remind them that, hey, there's nothing good in these meats. There's nothing bad in these meats. These meats are neutral. They do nothing for your spirituality, so don't worry about it. If you want to eat them, eat them. If not, don't. But there were immature Christians. In fact, in chapter 1, he told us a lot of the problems in this Corinthian church were because they were immature Christians. They've been saved for a long time, yet they didn't know God's Word. God's Word had not affected their heart, and God's Word had not affected their minds, and so they didn't know how to think. They had such a mess in their church because they were baby Christians, even though they should have been farther along in their world. But as we see this right here, what we see taking place in the heart of the Apostle Paul is this care, this love for them, for others. Read with me in verse number 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Now, the weak ones did not know that they were weak in their faith, and by Paul exercising his liberty, they would be hurt. So Paul said, let's not do it if others are going to be hurt. For if any man see thee, which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak perish, for whom Christ died? I want to break out those four words this morning. For whom Christ died. Paul is simply trying to say that, look, you may have this freedom and you may want to eat this meat, but consider your brother in Christ. He's weak. You don't need to do it in front of him because it's going to be a problem to him. And the thought here is this: Christ loved this weak brother so much that he died for it. Can you not forego your liberty this time to protect your weak brother? There's a love there. There's a concern there. Now go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 was the chapter on lawsuits. Paul took them to task because this church in Corinth had people in it who were suing each other in a public court. And of course, he takes the first 10, 12, 14 verses in that chapter to tell them they shouldn't be doing that. God's Holy Spirit resided in each of them as a child of God, and God's Holy Spirit can direct them to make good decisions if they ask for his wisdom. And he says in verse number 5, verse number 5. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. Now we don't know what the disagreement was. We don't know anything about why somebody was being sued by another one in the church. Paul says it's a shame. Is there not somebody among you in God's house that has discretion and wisdom to fix this problem and not take it outside the church? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer or allow yourselves to be defrauded? Paul is saying, look, and in chapter 6, he doesn't really give us much of an explanation for these words in verse number 7. But there's a thought there in this entire book. There's a thought that what we do here in the church is worth protecting. This is Paul over and over in these chapters talks about the body, the local body of God's church. And he talks to us, he talks to them in a way that helps us see this is something special here and we should protect it. And so here in this chapter about one brother suing another, he's looking at the brother who's taking the other guy to court, and he says, hey, listen, isn't it not worth for you just to be wronged instead of doing this disastrous thing of taking this guy to court? Would you not let yourself be defrauded by him for the good of what we have here? I don't like to be defrauded, do you? I don't even know what it means, Albert, but I know I wouldn't like it. I don't like when people do me wrong. Do you like that, Georgina? Yet Paul is asking this guy, be wronged for the good of this, for the good of your brother. He hurts you in the first place. He's probably weak and immature. Do you see the concept here that Paul is asking us in both chapters to consider this person that has wronged us and to love him? Or consider this person who is weak and to love him. Why? Because it's someone for whom Christ died. It's somebody that Christ has already looked into eternity future and seen this person and seen his ugliness, if it's that, or his immaturity, if it's that. He's a babe in Christ, and yet he died for him. He loved him enough to die for him. Loving them for whom Christ died. I want to tell you a story. That's why this is going to be a different kind of lesson, because there's a lot of stories, and I don't tell stories. I'm going to tell you a few stories this morning. I was in the truck 2 weeks ago. And you know how Brother Chris is always advising us not to listen to talk radio? Well, most of the time I don't, but Elbert, this week I did. And it was good talk radio, getting a lot of facts and getting a lot of commentary on the political situation here in this country. But there's some bad in that, because sometimes you can get worked up. This day, in the truck, I got worked up. And I'm ashamed to say, the reason I'm going to tell you this is because of those four words, "for whom Christ died." The radio show that I was listening to was replaying some comments made by two senators. One was about a 10-year veteran of the Senate, and the other one was about 30-year veteran of the Senate. And both senators do not believe what we believe. Both senators are pretty much for anything that we're against. That's how bad this was. Both senators had never started a business. They didn't know what they were talking about. They were idiots. And I'm sorry. There's just no way. There's no logic in their thought process at all. Now just stay with me here. I'm gonna get on something good in a minute. But I got to build it up. And I shouldn't have been listening to it, because I have so many good Christian teachers that I listen to, and preachers, and good music that uplift me. I didn't get uplifted today. I'm in this truck driving down the road. And first the 30-year senator spoke, and then the 10-year senator spoke. And in about 10 minutes, I was madder than a wet hornet. Is that it? Hen. Yeah, I couldn't think of the words. I was madder than a wet hornet, too. Not just a hen. And what I did was I found myself reacting in a very vocal way against these two people. And I never do this. I mean, I'm pretty level-headed in my temperament. I found myself hollering at them. And that's okay, too. I mean, until it goes as far as it did with me. I actually don't know exactly what I said. I feel like it was okay to say whatever it is I said, but I'm not for sure. Because they got me so worked up. And so, I don't know, there were maybe six or seven, maybe eight big long sentences. Nobody was listening to me but God and me and somebody else I'm going to tell you about. But here's the result of what happened. Everything I said, I'm sure, is probably okay. But as soon as I said the last word, two things happened. First of all, the radio went off. Can you believe that? I didn't turn it off. The radio went off. And at that very same moment, God's Spirit smote my heart. Now, it's not in what I said. I think I said everything okay and was true. God's Word always tells us to have a sense of logic and balance and understanding and truth in our life, right? There was nothing, none of that stuff in anything those two guys said. So two things happened. The radio went off, and then God's Word smote my heart, and here's why it smote my heart. The way I said it. Everything that I said was said in a very hateful way. And immediately I thought, Dwayne, you had no business talking in that tone of voice. You had no business saying what you said. That the way you said it does not belong to a child of God. And for some reason, these four words popped up in chapter 8. Verse number 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. And all I could think about was, here I am Nobody's listening but God, and then somebody else, which I'll tell you about in a minute. But here I am reacting to this radio commentary in such a hateful, anger-filled way. And all I could think about was, you ain't got no business talking about anybody or to anybody like that as a child of God. Hateful, anger-filled. Oh, man, if they had been around, I would have punched their lights out. You know why? Christ knew all about those. He knows them, everything about them. And yet, he died for them. He gave his life for those two nonsense-filled individuals that are for every bit of illogical, stupid thing you could ever possibly be. They're for it. Christ knew that, and he died for them. What right do I have to talk to them that way? You follow me? Now, I don't have to like them. I don't have to believe what they say. But as a child of God, as a son of God, as somebody called by his name, I had no business talking like that. Now, listen. John 3:16 says, for God so loved. Have you ever wondered why that word so is in there? That's to describe the super great big nature of what he did. He didn't just love them. He so loved them. And I honestly think that sometimes in our lives we get so nasty and we get so, in their case, just upside down. God so loved them. And we don't know what's going to happen in their life. They may get saved tomorrow. God saved, you know, all throughout history of people, God has saved the worst of them, hasn't he? He's got a way of speaking to hearts. Just because they're totally opposite of what we are and what I am, and because you know, they're for everything we're against, just because of that doesn't mean God will not save their heart tomorrow or in 5 years. Or in 10 years. You put whatever time on it you want. And so we had gone through these two chapters, and I just started reasoning in my heart, Dwayne, you ain't got no business, even though nobody's listening but God, you ain't got no business talking to these people that way. That's not what a child of God does. Have you ever done that, Georgina? Christ died for them. He knows they're ugly, evil, wicked. He knew all that, and yet he put them on the list, just like he put me and you on the list. He loved them. Do you think we have any right? If you look at the nature of chapter 8 and chapter 6 on Paul wanting to protect the weak people and to protect the church, and to protect that person for whom Christ has died, do you think he would be for me talking like that in the truck? Now, mind you, this is a new truck. I'm still getting used to it. I told you the radio went off. Here's why it went off. I meant to do this when I got the truck, and I meant to go in there in the settings and take to disable Alexa. Remember the voice, the lady that comes on? After my 3 or 4 minutes of intense rants of hatred and vitriol that I was doing, the radio goes off, and just about 10 seconds after my last word, she says, "What was it that you said?" So I'm convicted even further. Alexa heard me. And I didn't say anything. I didn't know what to say. I was still convicted of my attitude. God had still taken me to a place where he's letting me know this is not the way to talk. So here she goes again, because I hadn't answered. please repeat what you just said. And I said, no, never mind. And that made her stop. We're taking these pictures for the directory. And, you know, I don't work on them. Valerie and the girls have worked on them. This is not their first go around. It's either the third or fourth directory, I can't remember, that they've worked on. And they've spent a lot of time on it. They've talked to different companies and tried to get prices for how much they do. And so they decided to go with this, and Brother Chris decided to go with this. So they're working on this. But before they started on it, as a father and as a husband, I just wanted to remind them, hey, when you do this, have some thick skin. Because you are going to misspell somebody's name. It's happened before. And let me tell you, when people's name get misspelled and when they have a red circle on their left eye, Brother Albert, they're not very redemptive. when the picture of their lovely family is not centered in the backdrop, oh boy, they can get mean. Hey, listen, let me tell you something. You know this already. Christians can be some of the kindest, loving, most gentle, wonderful people in the world, or they can be evil. They can be wicked. Why can we be wicked sometimes? Because God's Spirit's not controlling us. And so I told the girls, and I didn't need to tell her, but I reminded her anyway, hey, listen, you have some thick skin if you're going to do this. Because somebody's going to come up to you and say something, and they're not going to see all the hours you put in. They're not seeing these Saturdays you're spending up here. They just know they got a red dot over their eye. That's all they know. And so before all of that, my point was, you're doing this for the Lord. You're doing this. This is your service to the Lord. But after dwelling on these four words, for whom Christ died, I'm starting to think a little bit different about this situation. And I haven't talked to them yet, but I think I will today at lunch, if they'll listen to me. When these individuals come up to you and say, hey, my hair's messed up, and you snap that picture anyway, or whatever it is, you put whatever situation, and they get on to you for that, and they're nasty about that, and you get your feelings hurt, I want you to consider something. Christ already knew how petty they can be. Yet he loved them and he died for them anyway. So can you not just take this and let it roll off your shoulder? He gave his life, even though the pettiness of this individual came to light and hurt your feelings. Can you not just let it roll off your shoulder? That's what Paul's asking us to do. That's what he's asking us to do. Why? Because they are for whom Christ died. Now, in my time left, I just got a little bit of time. I told you this was going to be different, but I'm going to explain a concept to you. And to do that, I've brought with me a good friend. He's in this plastic bag over here. I put all my good friends in plastic bags. This is Leroy. You see Leroy? I bought this thing and his mouth won't close. That irritates me to a great extent. I'm going to set Leroy right here, okay? Leroy is a good friend. He was saved over 20 years ago. He's a member of this church. Did you know that? He comes to church one day a week or one service a week, and he's my good friend, and we've known each other a long time. In fact, he was over at our house just the other day having lunch. We don't let him come over too much because he's got a big mouth and he eats a lot. But he's my friend. The only thing is, when he comes over and eats, he eats a lot. And he eats so much food that often we don't have that much to eat because he eats it all. In church, right before church, I always try to go over and sit by him. Now, y'all don't see any of this because you're not looking in the right place, okay? But before the service, I'll go over and try to sit next to Leroy and talk to him. The only thing is, he's very, very self-centered. And I'll sit down next to him and I'll talk to him and I'll ask him how his day was and how his mom and all that. He never asked me about me. He's very self-centered. Those verses that we consult all the time about attending church, the middle verses in Hebrews 10:25 is encouraging, exhorting one another. One of the reasons we need to be here in God's house is not for us. It's for each other. That's a mission that I have is to be here and be whatever encouragement that I can be to you. That is a great privilege, is being a child of God and God's family. Leroy doesn't do that very well. He's selfish with the food. He is self-centered when we talk. And I'm starting to think if he's even a good friend. Another reason I don't like to sit down sometimes and I'll just walk by him is he's critical. I sat by him the other day, Albert. He started complaining about something Brother Chris said. He gossips. His gossip turns mean and hateful. In fact, I don't even know if, not only is he not a good friend, I don't even know if I want to be his friend. Because whatever I do around Leroy is going to turn negative. In fact, I think I'm just going to do this for now and ignore him. And you ignore him. I was thinking, though, this week in my preparation of this lesson, if we do that, if we actually do that with people like Leroy, and you look, as I'm talking about Leroy, you think about that one person that you know about in your life or that you've had in your life before, that's the same way. Been saved 20 years, 40 years, 50 years. No good encouragement from them ever. They'll take all the encouragement that you can give them, but they won't give it back to you because they're self-centered. And they're selfish with what they got. And even though they go to church, they're gossipy and they talk with hatred in their heart so much of the time. I was thinking about that this week. I said, what about these people in my life? And I actually got convicted because I've got some, you've got some. Guess what? Christ died for them too. And he already knew how they were. Isn't that strange, Beverly? He already knew, really, how worthless this little fellow was, and he died for it. Well, I'm pretending it's real. You know that. And if we ignore them, if we push them out of our life, what do we do with 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John? Turn over real quick with me to 1 John chapter 1, and then we'll end it. 1 John chapter 1. Leroy, you're going to have to move over so my Bible can sit next to you. 1 John chapter 1. As soon as I get turned over that way. Let's start reading in verse number 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. Now let's talk real quickly about that word hate. Sometimes we don't actually hate people, but we show the symptoms of a very great dislike, don't we? We're human. We do that. It's the thought here that I want you to see. Lost my place. I told you Yeah, I told you 1 John 1:9, I'm sorry. It's chapter 2. Verse 9. Chapter 2. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Go down to verse 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Leroy doesn't sound too bad right now after all. Over and over in the Word of God, we see Scripture that tells us we have a certain obligation to each other. And we know just from being with each other, because we're human, that's not always an easy thing to do. Look in chapter 4, verse 7. Here's another one. By the way, we went through these three books, and it's all the way through. It's all the way through these three little books that I have an obligation to have an amiable, affectionate love toward you and vice versa. He says in verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, why? Somebody read that. We ought also to love one another. Go to verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Boy, that's some strong language. I know I've said that 100 times when we went through 1 John, but it is. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. So, Dwayne, what do we do? What do we do when he's not easy to love? We love him anyway. Christ died for it. Christ saw his ugliness. Christ saw his selfishness, his self-centeredness, when he's having a bad day, how he can wreck you over the coals. Christ saw all of that in Leroy's life, and yet he died for him anyway. That's our reaction. That should have been my reaction in the truck. You know it? These people I was listening to, they didn't have a good thing to say whatsoever. But Christ loved them. And that should have been the start and the stop for me as a child of God. Who am I to do something that does not look like what Christ did for them? Just something to think about. Would you pray with me?